do invite you tonight, if you have your Bibles with you, to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 2, we're going to be looking tonight at verses 7 through 12. If you were here with us on Sunday evening, Dr. Currid preached on Matthew 2, 1 to 6, so I just decided to keep going with that passage tonight. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. This is the familiar story of the wise men, the magi. The old Christmas carol calls them three kings of Orient are. We three kings of Orient are. We'll mention who, in fact, they are, as Dr. Currid did on a Sunday night. But they have come to see Jesus. They ask, where is he who has been born King of the Jews, in verse 2, for we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Let's pick up in verse 7. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Let's go to our God in prayer. Our God, we thank you for this, your holy word that reveals to us who you are and what you require of us. Now we thank you especially tonight for the revelation of your Son, the eternal Son of God who became man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray that you would draw us close to him tonight, even as you draw near to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight's celebration, tonight's sermon is really nothing but a love story. It's a love story. We have a lover who, at first glance, is the least likely lover in the story before us. Maybe Herod might be above that, but the least likely lover, at least at face value, in this story before us tonight. And then we also see the beloved, those who are loved, the loved ones, who are also the least likely people, or among the least likely people to be loved, at least loved by God. Let's look at this lover primarily tonight. Who is the lover of this love story? The lover is this baby, of course, that these wise men, as they're called in our text, or magi, which is the Greek term that's used, come to see the baby. These magi have come to see. These are scholars, by the way, as Dr. Currid pointed out on Sunday night. They're not necessarily just stargazers, and they're not kind of your typical wise men, the wise men of the kingdom who are called together when we need some wisdom. These are scholars who study the ancient religions, and then along with that probably includes the study of the stars. But they come to see him, and this baby, his whole life, from beginning to end, is a life of love. His whole life, from beginning to end, is a life of love. It begins in a manger, as we saw in Luke chapter 2. It continues with his obedience to his parents. and his faithfulness. It continues with his teaching ministry, his healing ministry, and ultimately we see the climax in his death on a cross for all of the sins of all of his people. We could say he showed his love by keeping God's commandments. Jesus himself said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Love and law are not opposed to one another. And Jesus kept the commandments of God. He clearly kept the two greatest commandments that Scripture teaches us: to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul and strength and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. Those are the two great commandments. Jesus kept those. He loved God with all of his heart. He loved his neighbor as himself. And it begins here in the manger, in obedience to the Father and in love for his people. The child, especially when we reflect on the child in the manger in Luke chapter 2. Now, this story in Matthew chapter 2 is a little bit later than that one. So Jesus is no longer in the stable. He's no longer, if that's where he was, he may have been in a cave. He's no longer in a manger. He's now in a house somewhere. Not his own, but a house somewhere. And it speaks volumes. Matthew 2:2, the Magi come and say, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" And if we go back a little bit farther to the end of Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which Matthew tells us means God with us. This is God who has come to be with his people, and yet his birth and the circumstances of his birth are among the lowliest and loneliest anyone can imagine. He was conceived out of wedlock. Mary was found to be with child before she and Joseph got married. They were betrothed, but they had not yet married. She could have been put to death for being pregnant out of wedlock. Jesus grew up in poverty. We know that from what follows in Luke chapter 2. Actually, we'll be reading that Sunday morning. We know from what follows. Why? Because the offering that they brought to God was what the poor people were to bring. If you're poor, If you're rich, you bring this. But if you're poor, you can bring this. Bring some offering. And that's what they bring. It's a life of poverty. There was no nice hospital. There was not even a home birth. They were not home. This was not even the birth that we see of Evie Jock, where she's born in their kitchen and Lee has to catch her before she actually literally hits the floor. This little baby. This is much more miraculous. This is much more low, if you will. No cradle, no bassinet, not even a drawer to sleep in. Leo slept in a drawer his first night home after he was born. He was 4 weeks early. We weren't ready for him. None of that. Where did he lay? Where did they put him? In a manger. A feeding trough for animals. A feeding trough for animals. And you know, in many ways, Jesus' lowly state is a reflection of all human beings' state before a holy God. All are lowly. All are rejected. All are destitute. All are needy. All are helpless apart from Jesus Christ. And God here in Christ Jesus became man. Why? to do what we could not do for ourselves, to raise us low and bring us on high. Only God can help us. Only God can save us. This is so well stated in this hymn, a beautiful duet before our service started, in the hymn that we just sang, "Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake becamest poor. Thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake becamest man, stooping so low, but sinners raising." That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. He stooped so low as we can possibly imagine, to raise up sinners. If you want to know what love is, go to the manger. Yes, go to the cross and go to the rest of Jesus' life, but it begins at the manger. Go to the manger and see eternal God in a lowly estate as a little helpless baby. If you at all doubt God's love tonight, and I know we are all tempted to doubt the love of God at times. Does God really love me? Go to the manger and see the God-man, Jesus Christ, lying there. The great love of our God for us. And then we see these wise men come on the scene. You know, in some ways they are the polar opposite, but they are very similar in status with regard to Jesus to the shepherds who came and rejoiced in Luke chapter 2. These magi, these scholars, these learned men, they came from what? A pluralistic culture. They came from a culture that had many gods, a culture that would say all gods are good and there's no one God that's going to lead you up the mountain to the top. They didn't have that. They may have even been pantheistic, believing that everything was God or everything was a god, a pantheism. It would have been very difficult for them to believe in one true God and that this one child could be a savior for them. But what do? They come and they worship him and they fall down before him. All of this, as Dr. Currid, I think, so well said on Sunday evening, by the leading and the power of God. This is God at work in their hearts. Nothing but God can bring about this change in their hearts. But they're no different from those shepherds. Shepherds were outcasts, hated, despised. We have this romanticized view of the shepherds out in the fields with their flock, or maybe some of us have a romanticized view of the shepherds out in the field with their flocks. They were hated. Their testimony, by the way, was not allowed in court. They were seen by their own people as unclean. They were known to be thieves. They would take from other flocks and join them in with their own. The outcasts. These are the unlikely. Both sides. Scholars, maybe they were wealthy. They brought expensive gifts to Jesus, these magi, the lowly shepherds who had nothing to bring. We saw a few weeks ago on Sunday morning a great prostitute, most likely. We're only told from the Gospels that she is a sinner, a well-known sinner, most likely a prostitute. no one is outside the reach of God. No one is too high or too low for God to reach, because God is above, higher than the highest, and Jesus became even lower than the lowest. No one is beyond the reach of God. All of us are unlikely, beloved. Unlikely people to be loved by God, and yet God did in Jesus Christ. As the Apostle Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus went lower than any of us could have possibly imagined beforehand to save sinners. That's who we come to worship, to celebrate tonight and tomorrow over these days. Call for us just to come, to worship, to adore him, but also to humble ourselves before him. I quoted this quote, can't remember, this past Sunday or the Sunday before, from Jonathan Edwards, who says, all of our love for God is a broken-hearted love, a genuine love, but a love that begins with a broken heart. Because my sin, your sin, brought Christ to the manger and ultimately to the cross. And yet we rejoice in what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'd be drawn to him in worship and adoration. Let's pray. Our God, how we thank you that you indeed are a God of great love. And how we thank you for this great love story of Jesus' entire earthly life that was lived in love. Oh God, we pray that you would fill our hearts with love for our Lord Jesus Christ tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand.